and sing our theme song, Continue.
I continue in the things I have learned. I'll be assured of, I'll be assured of. Continue in the things I have learned. Knowing the things I have learned. Continue to make and care of me. Continue to make and to save me. I continue in the things I have learned. I'll be assured of, I'll be assured of. Continue to serve, continue to serve. Continue to guide and let others know. I continue in the things I have learned. I'll be assured of, He will not leave
me. Amen. Remain standing, please. Good evening. Good to see each of you here this evening. We're getting more and more in here. We'll have a good crowd before it's over with. And remember to be in prayer for the pastors. He's still in Arizona. He'll be on his way back soon. But be in prayer for him. Be in prayer for those sick, not able to be here tonight. And we'll go ahead and go to the Lord in a word of prayer. And then the choir will take over and you can be seated. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this opportunity you've given us to come this way. Thank you, Lord, for all your many blessings. Lord, we do pray for our pastor. Keep him safe, Lord, and bring him back to us safe. Lord, I pray, Lord, for the choir as they sing. I pray that you just touch their voice to lift up your name. Pray for those not able to be here tonight, Lord. I pray that you give them a special blessing. And Lord, pray for those that are here. Lord, I pray the Holy Spirit would touch their hearts tonight. And Lord, we'd all go away from here closer to you than we were before we came. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Sought me out that one little lost lamb. Let's everyone stand to sing, Bring Them In, 96.
Hark, is the shepherd's voice I hear, out in the desert dark and bare, calling the sheep be gone astray, far from the shepherd's fold today. Bring them in, bring them in from the fields of sin. Bring them in, bring them in, bring the warning one to Jesus.
Turn around and shake hands with. Birthday song. Since our pastor's away, hopefully he'll be able to see us. We want to sing happy birthday to our pastor, okay?
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear pastor. Happy birthday to you.
hand. Amen. I hope you enjoyed that. Okay, everyone sing Send the Light 109 to Greenwood. Hold a minute. I lost my train of thought.
Ringing, all the rest is placed in the light, in the light. There were souls to rescue, there were souls to saints in the light, in the light, in the light. The blessed gospel light, let it shine from shore to shore. In the light, the blessed gospel light, let it shine forevermore. We have heard the Mass's only call today. Send the light, send the light. And a golden offering at the cross we lay. Send the light, send the light, send the light. The blessed gospel light, let it shine from shore to shore. Send the light, the blessed gospel light, let it shine.
Ushers come forth. Let's go and on the verse to say, take the light.
Let us not go weary in the work of love. Take the light, take the light. Let us gather jewels for a ground above. Take the light, take the light. Take the light, the blessed gospel light. Let it shine from shore to shore. Take the light, the blessed gospel light, let it shine forevermore.
Amen. Great singing. Well, welcome you here again. Some of you may have come in since we welcomed you a while ago. I apologize to the media guys. They brought my mic up here and I didn't put it on. So I'm going to get it out of Taylor's way because he gets it moving up here. No telling what will happen to it. So we're going to take care of that. Listen, we're going to take up the offering, and these gentlemen's going to come by, and they're going to smile at you and take up the offering. But I'm going to say something you probably never hear a Baptist preacher say again. Now, if you need to put your tithes in, we want you to put that, your missions in, and your building fund, we want you to put that in. But try not to put all your money in these plates, because we got some kids going to do the penny march, and if you don't have any money to give them, they sure can give a sad, sad look waiting on that money. So y'all hold back a few pennies for them, all right? All right, we're going to have prayer, and after they pray, y'all can be seated. Brother Matt, you need the Lord in prayer, please.
For being in your house tonight, God, we just ask you to be with us all for in time. Lord, we ask you to bless the gift and the giver. Lord, as you bless us, Father, and just pray for the remainder of the service tonight, for the singing and the kids' penny march. Pray for that, and pray for the preaching hour, God, that you just use your man tonight, God. Just give him holy unction and liberty to preach your word, Father. Just give him those words that we need to hear, Father. I pray that you use him tonight, and pray that everything's done and bring you honor and glory. It's in Jesus' name that I ask. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you. cannot touch it. Love cannot harm it. And a devil will need a repair. The termite can move its foundation. For on the rock of ages it stands. I feel that it's almost completed and ready for me to move in. My deed was both signed and recorded. The day Jesus saved me from sin. My name was engraved in gold letters in the Lamb book of life saved within. I'm an heir to a mansion in glory. When from this fame world here I roam, I'm waiting for Jesus to call me. I'll lay down my cross and go home. Now I hold a clear title to a mansion that Jesus has gone to prepare. Fire cannot touch it.
Amen. I appreciate the good singing tonight. Always a privilege to preach the Word of God. If you would please go ahead and turn your Bible to the book of Mark, chapter number 8, and we're going to be reading in verses 1 through 9. I just want to share this before we get started. I always find it amusing how the devil always tries to discourage you before you preach. I know our pastor has to go through a lot. I know every time I preach, it seems like last time my car broke down. This week, I just had some discouraging news. So, you know, but I always get victory through Christ. I'm thankful that we're here tonight. We can preach, and you know, I'm just glad that y'all are in y'all's place tonight. So, if you would please stand for respecting of the reading of the Word of God tonight. We're going to be in Mark chapter 8, verses 1 through 9, a familiar scripture. It says, "In those days, the multitude being very great, and having nothing to eat, Jesus called his disciples unto him, and saith unto them, I have compassion on the multitude." Look at that, "I have compassion, because they have now been with me 3 days, and have nothing to eat. And if I send them away fasting to their own houses, they will faint by the way, for divers of them came from far. And his disciples answered him, From whence can a man satisfy these men with bread here in the wilderness? And he asked them, How many loaves have ye? And he said, 7. And he commanded the people to sit down on the ground, and he took the 7 loaves and gave thanks and brake and gave to the disciples to set before them, and they did set them before the people. And they had a few small fishes, and he blessed and commanded to set them also before them. So they did eat and were filled." I want you to pay special attention to that tonight. "And they were filled. And they took up of the broken meat that was left 7 baskets, and they that had eaten were about 4,000, and he sent them away." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for this opportunity to be here tonight, God. I pray, Lord, that you would help us, Lord, hide behind the cross tonight, God. I pray, Lord, you would be with your word tonight, God, that, Lord, that it would reach hearts tonight, God, that, Lord, if there be one here that's lost, God, that, Lord, the message would stir their heart, show them that they're in need of a Savior, Lord. I pray, oh, God, that you would be with every heart here tonight, God. Lord, just I pray you give them help, God. Help me to help them, God. It has to come from you, though. We love you and praise you. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You can be seated. So, in opening here, we come to chapter 8 in the book of Mark, and we've already seen Jesus perform miracles through the book of Mark. Just a few, we see that he fed the 5,000, he calmed the storms, he healed many, he healed the deaf, he healed the crippled, he healed a demonic woman, and there's many, many more. And then we get to chapter 8 here, and we see that Jesus feeds 4,000. And you've heard the story many times, I'm sure. But we should never get over the miracles Christ performed. And oftentimes we'll read the scripture like this and say, you know, that's great. Jesus fed 4,000 people. That's great, you know. And we'll just keep on reading and just move on along. But it's more than that. We'll take a look in just a moment more in detail. And we've obviously, I don't think anybody here has ever seen 4,000 people miraculously fed. But we've seen miracles that God has done in our own lives. And maybe it's healed cancer. You know, maybe it saved you from a car wreck. Maybe God provided money when something didn't add up for you. You know, God always provides miracles, and we've seen them. And if you're saved tonight, that's the greatest miracle, that God saved a sinner as yourself and as myself tonight. So tonight we're going to look deeper into the miracle of the 4,000 being fed. And if you remember a while back, Brother Justin Cooper was here and preached a great message on He Made the Stars Also. And a scripture that's very familiar. A lot of times, you know, scriptures like that, we'll just read through them just like this story. And I want to bring something out. I prayed after that. I was like, God, please give me a nugget like that. You know, I want to find something like that. And sure enough, not too long later, I started reading. And God laid this on my heart here in verses 8. It says, they were filled. And that's the title of the message tonight. They were filled. So they weren't just fed. They were filled. And to be filled, first, you have to be hungry. So point one tonight, they're hungry. We see in verses 1 through 3, it says, in those days, the multitude being very great, and having nothing to eat, Jesus called his disciples unto him, and saith unto them, I have compassion on the multitude, because they have now been with me 3 days, and have nothing to eat. And if I send them away fasting to their own houses, they will faint by the way, for divers of them came from far. Well, they were hungry, so they must have been Baptists. Amen. Anytime it comes to food, it's got to be Baptist. So I'm sure on a Wednesday night, y'all are probably saying, please don't talk about food. I'm hungry. I haven't been able to eat yet. I apologize. Just bear with me. So imagine with me, they went at least 3 days without eating. Most of us folks, we can't go 3 hours without eating. Amen. So I'm sure at this point, anything sounds good to eat. Any amount of food would be good. But little did they know that the Savior of the universe was about to step on scene and feed 4,000 people. So we're about to see this great miracle be performed by Jesus. So we see that they are physically hungry. They're weak for going 3 days without eating. And spiritually, we're the same way. If you go 3 days without eating spiritual food, go 3 days without reading the Word of God, 3 days without prayer, go without preaching the Word of God, we're going to be weak. And that's exactly where the devil wants you. He wants you weak because you're not going to be effective for God. So prayer and reading can't just be a fallback. When you get in a situation, it has to be a foundation. If you're a Christian walk in relation with, if not, your relationship with God will be weak. So prayer can't just be a fallback. It has to be a foundation. So we see here they are weak and haven't eaten in 3 days. So why are they still following this man named Jesus? So they're tired, they're hungry, and they're still following. Why are they following this man named Jesus? They're spiritually hungry as well. They knew something was different about Jesus. They trusted him. They couldn't get enough of him. And they had seen all that he had done, and they just wanted more of him. I want to ask you tonight, if you're saved, are you spiritually hungry tonight? Did you come here tonight hungry to hear the Word of God, or did you just come because you had to? Did you come because your parents drug you, or it's a Wednesday night, I know I'm supposed to be here, or were you truly hungry for the Word of God tonight? So, and do you rely on the Word of God to fill you like you rely on physical food to fill you? You know, you go to a restaurant, you expect that food to fill you. Now, do you expect the Word of God to fill you the same way spiritually? If you go a day without reading God's Word or praying, do you feel spiritually malnourished? You say, maybe no big deal, it's just one day. I want you to go a day without eating and see how you feel. I know I'd be pretty weak, I'd be pretty hungry, I'd be in pretty bad mood. So just go one day without prayer and you can get malnutrition. So as saved folks, we should be hungry for the Word of God as much as He's done for us. Just like, you know, these that were following Christ, all they saw Him do, they couldn't get enough of Him. Are we the same today? Can we get enough of Christ? Can we fathom what He's done for us? All the things that God gives us and blesses us with, we should be hungry to dig deeper and deeper into His Word to learn more about Him. And not only saved folks, what about the lost? I believe they're spiritually hungry as well. You say, how's that? They're looking for something, anything to fill that void of emptiness in their life. So they turn, what do they turn to? They turn to drugs, they turn to alcohol, they turn to money, cars, even religion, because it makes them feel better. And there's many more. So what they try to do, they try to fill that emptiness and make them feel better, but only God can fill that. They're searching for it. The lost are hungry, but are eating the wrong food. They're eating the artificial stuff. And I'm sure, you know, y'all know what artificial stuff is. It's all fillers, it's all junk. And, you know, if you eat candy, you're never going to get full. You ain't sit there and eat full. You're going to get sick before you get full. So the same thing, If you eat steak or chicken, you know, that's the real deal. It keeps you full, you know, it'll keep you till your next meal. So when you're saved, it's the same. It's not artificial. You are completely filled up, and you don't need that artificial junk that Satan throws at you anymore. You don't need those cars. You don't need the houses, the money to satisfy that need anymore. And we've got to show the lost there's something much better than that drugs and alcohol that will fill them, and his name is Jesus. He is the bread of life. So we saw their condition here. They were hungry. So now we get to our second point tonight. They doubted. You say, how'd they doubt? In verses 4, we're going to look at that. It says, and his disciples answered him, from whence can a man satisfy these men with bread here in the wilderness? So his disciples are saying here, how can man do this? How can a man feed 4,000 people? Our answer is that he couldn't. The answer is that man couldn't, but Christ can. And Matthew 19:26 tells this, but Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. You know, I'm glad to know, you know, we know God that makes everything possible for us. And I'm so thankful for that. And I was telling Brother Matt right before this, in my Bible reading, I got this out of chapter 11, verses 13 through 14. It's Moses here says, whence should I have flesh to give unto all this people? For they weep unto me, saying, give us flesh that we may eat. I'm not able to bear all this people alone because it is too heavy for me. So what is he saying there? Moses is saying here he can't feed all of these Israelites. They've been wandering around the desert. And they're hungry. And we see later, though, in the chapter that God provides them with quail. We know that story, how he provides them with that. And the Bible tells us in verse 21 there in Numbers that there were 600,000 footmen. So we just see how much God can provide there for 600,000 people. How can we doubt God? How can we doubt a God that has proved himself over and over and over again? And so once again, we see where man could not provide, but God could. So they doubted Christ even after all the miracles he had performed that we mentioned earlier. And earlier in the book of Mark, we see that Jesus had already fed the 5,000, and they still can't grasp the fact that Christ could feed 4,000 people. So you probably say these disciples are crazy. How could they doubt Jesus? They've been walking with him, and they've seen his miracles. They've seen him do all these miracles, but we're no different today. Amen. We've seen God do miracles. He's provided for us in ways we can't explain. It can only be God. But when something bad pops up, what do? We doubt. We say, I don't know how I'm going to do it. How are we going to meet this financial need? How are we going to fight this sickness? The same way you always have, friend, only through Christ. That's how we get. Man will fail you and can't provide like our God can. We see that Jesus provides here and proves that he is who he says he is, and letting them know that he will provide and they can trust him. We see in verse 5 what Jesus uses to provide here. It says in verse 5, and he asked them, how many loaves have ye? And they said, 7. So we see that 7 loaves of bread. In verse 7, a few small fish. I like this. It says, and they had a few small fishes. You notice it says small fishes there. It doesn't say they were big fish. He didn't use these big old catfish down here in the Yakin River. He used small little fishes to feed these. So no matter how small something is in your life, it's amazing how God can make that little thing something big. It means something to him, you know. Just because it's small, it can be big to God. And he can take those small things and make them big. And just like here, we see that he takes this little bit of food and turns it into enough food to feed 4,000 people. So just remember how big our God is. And there's nothing that he can't do. Anything you're going through in your life, nothing's too big for him. No situation that he is not in control of. We see miracle after miracle that he's provided. He always proves himself, so we cannot doubt him. And Jesus proves he can, as we just read, and we see in verses 6 through 7, it tells us this, and he commanded the people to sit down on the ground, and he took the 7 loaves and gave thanks and break, and gave to the disciples to set before them, and they did sit before the people, and they had a few small fishes, and he blessed and commanded to set them also before them. So we see talking about Jesus here. 3 times here they talk about Jesus, and also once again verse 9. And as we've been talking about, only God can. I want you to look in verses 6 here. Verse 6 once again says, and he commanded the people to sit down. That sounds like a pretty simple task. Don't sit down. I want you to think about this. Think about 4,000 people. He told them to sit down. So he's telling them all to sit down, that there was no chaos. Jesus was in control. I asked Caitlin this the other day. I said, how many, you know, most of y'all know she works at a daycare. So how many kids you get to watch in the afternoon? She said probably about 25 to 50 kids on her own. I was like, man, that's pretty chaotic, you know, having these many kids running around like crazy. I can't imagine how many times she has to tell people to sit down, just 25 of them, you know. Think about Jesus here, 4,000 people, he told them to sit down. And they sat down. It doesn't say that he asked them twice. He commanded them to sit. And you don't see where there's any chaos here in this story. He told them to sit. They sit. So God was in control even over these 4,000 people. So he takes the fish and bread and gives thanks. And now he has fed over 9,000 people because we see the both accounts. So 9,000 people have been fed. So he blessed. Christ provided. And he proved that he can provide and there's no need to doubt him. And how many times has God blessed you over and over but we still doubt him? And he's proved himself to us time and time again. There's no need to doubt him. We sing that, you know, no need to doubt him now. No need to doubt him now. We sing it, but do we live it? Can we say that we don't doubt God? So we see that they were hungry. Then the disciples doubted him. And now we get to our third point, and the title of the message is they were filled. I want you to see, we saw that they were hungry and how Jesus performs this miracle with these few small fish and loaves of bread and feeds 4,000. And not only were they fed, they were filled. So imagine with me that you were starving and when you finally get food, how good and satisfying that is. Amen. You're hungry. You've went all day without eating. Now you finally get some food. How satisfying that is to finally get some food. So as we talked about a few moments ago, how are the lost trying to fill themselves? With anything they can, we know that they'll never be filled until they get saved, and that comes from Christ. So how many of you have ever went out to eat and just didn't get full? You know, you leave the restaurant just as hungry as you went there. I know last night we went to Subway, and I got me a sub. It was a 6-inch sub and some chips. I know that fills Caitlin up, but I left just as hungry as I went. So, you know. But what's sad is that's how lost people are. They come and they're hungry and they never get full because they don't have Christ filled them. So they never get full, but not with God. We see that here in the scripture that they are filled. Also, Christian friends, that's the only way we can be filled. Many times, even Christians look for things to fill, you know, fill us up, you know, whether it's our minds or our emotions, but we have to turn to God to fill us with his word. You know, many times we look, you know, we're guilty of it. You know, we have to have the latest car. We have to have the biggest house. You know, that satisfies our needs. But, you know, really, ultimately, God has to fill that void for us. And we go to his word for that. So we see they were filled and they were satisfied. They didn't need any more. They didn't turn to anyone else for food. You notice that they didn't go anywhere else. They went to Christ for food. And Jesus was enough for them, and he's enough for us today as well. We don't have to go to the world to get anything, to get our needs met. We can go to Christ, and he meets every need every time. So no matter what your circumstance is today, Jesus can meet that need, and we don't have to turn to man. Jesus will meet your need and satisfy you. Oftentimes, like in verse 8, he will go beyond meeting your needs. Verse 8 tells us this, and they took up of the broken meat that was left 7 baskets. Now imagine this. You say 7 baskets, you know, what's so great about that? Well, you remember they just started with a couple of fish and a couple of loaves of bread. Now they got 7 baskets left over. So even after feeding 4,000 people with this little stuff, the amount of food, there was leftovers. I like this, just like in the book of Ruth. We always go to the book of Ruth when Boaz left the handfuls of purpose to let her fall to Ruth. You know, God gives us those handfuls on purpose. You know, we see that he provided, but then he even gives more. I mean, you know, that's how God is. He meets our wants, or he meets our needs, and then a lot of times he goes on and meets our wants, and that's our God that we serve today. So what does God fill us with today? We see in Ephesians 5:18 tells us this, God fills us with his Spirit. It says, and be not drunken with wine, wherein is the excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Also in Acts 2:4 tells us this, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. So when we're saved and accept Jesus Christ as our Savior, we're filled with the Holy Ghost. So one definition of filled I looked up, it says, become an overwhelming presence in. And when you're filled with the Holy Ghost, it's a good, overwhelming presence. And he's there to convict us when we do wrong. He's there to comfort us when we're going through times of need. And he gives us directions. And if you've never accepted Christ, then you're not filled with the Holy Ghost. And you're not filled with the Holy Spirit. And that's why you continue to search and try to fill your life with different things. But nothing will ever fill that void other than the Lord Jesus Christ. And also Romans 15:13 tells us this. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. We're to be filled with joy. God wants us to be happy, and we should be for all that He's done for us. You know, first off, for saving us. That's something worth rejoicing about tonight, being saved. You know, He meets our needs, you know, just over and over again. He's met our needs. It's worth being rejoiceful for. But you say, what if something bad happens? Well, we also see in this scripture, we're to be filled with peace. And once again, what the world is looking for is that peace. Like, they don't know peace. They're looking for peace. And we have that peace. We read in Philippians 4:7, very familiar scripture. It says, "And the peace of God that passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." It doesn't say, I don't see anywhere where it says find peace in the world, find it in alcohol, find it in money. It says it comes through Christ Jesus. And I want to give you a story I heard today. A very sad story. My brothers lives at the beach, and one of their good friends has a 19-month-old baby, and unfortunately she's dating a police officer, and he was leaving and accidentally ran over the 19-month-old baby, killing him. And you say, you know, what's going on there? Why'd that happen? I don't know why it happened, you know, but God's in control. You say, why am I telling you this sad story? Because there's peace for him. You know, God can give you the peace. I mean, I can't understand it, but our God can. He can understand what she's going through. So we have that peace that He gives. He fills us with that peace. You know, that Holy Spirit gives us the peace that we need. And we're to be filled with that peace. We're not to be afraid when we're going through the valleys or when a situation like this comes up. You know, we have that peace that passes all understanding and to comfort us in those times. And we also see in Romans 15:13, we're to be filled with hope. Romans 8:24 says, "For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for?" So we see throughout the Bible, obviously it tells us to rejoice in hope. We have hope knowing where we're going when we die. We're going to heaven. We'll be with our Savior for eternity. That's worth rejoicing about. That's worth having some hope for. You know, nothing's looking good in this world. You know, we always have hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. So that's always good to have hope in. So we see only God can fill us and satisfy us. So we see that they were hungry, now they're filled, and we get to our fourth point tonight. It's in verses 9. It says, "And they that had eaten were about 4,000, and He sent them away." And we've seen this, you know, great miracle happen. The 4,000 were fed, they were hungry, He fed them, and then He filled them. So we saw in verse 3 that Jesus had compassion on them and did not want to send them away hungry. And then He saw and He fed them, and they were filled, and now He can send them away because they're filled. So I don't know about you, but if I saw 4,000 people miraculously fed, I'd have to go tell somebody about it. Amen. So I'd have to tell everybody I knew. I'd have to brag on God for what He did, but be careful and don't boast about it. You know, very well these people could have been like, you know, "I was one of them 4,000. You know, I'm so spiritual. Look at me. I was there when Jesus was feeding these people. He fed me." You know, we got to be careful. We can't boast about that. We just got to brag on God. You know, "Hey, God saved me. It was all Him. Nothing I did. It was all Him." So don't be boastful, but we got to brag on God. So we're to do that today. We're to go out today. God fills us with the Holy Ghost and gives us the Great Commission. He sends us out to share the gospel, just like He sent them out. And Mark 16:15 says this, "And He said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." So we can tell others about this miracle, and we just sang it on Sunday night. You know, I could tell the story where thousands were fed, but I'd rather tell you what happened to me. So we could tell, you know, the greatest, all these miracles that happened, but you could tell somebody the greatest miracle that ever happened was when you got saved. And that's an easy story to tell. I mean, you don't have to necessarily take them to Bible. You know, you can just tell them, you know, "This is what God did for me." You know, it's easy, and it's easy to share that great miracle. And tell them how you were filled, with the Holy Ghost. And we also see here that they were sent away in a better condition. Amen. So we we saw at the beginning of Scripture, I know we go back to this, that they were weak and hungry, but now they're filled and ready to go. He strengthened them. So when you go to God, He will always send you away in a better condition than when you go. So if you're lost tonight, He can send you away saved. If you're sad tonight, He'll send you away happy. If you're scared tonight, He'll give you comfort. You know, He'll always send you away in a better condition than when you came to Him. So He will always send you away in a better condition. So He can take nothing and make it great. Like we saw a few small fish, He filled 4,000 people who were hungry, just like before you were saved, you came to Him with nothing. But He made you something through Christ, and you left with everything. So we see here that He always sends you away in a better condition. So in closing tonight, the musicians will go ahead and come forward. I want to ask you a few questions, and I'll have Brother Jimmy come up, and we'll close in prayer. So what is your condition tonight? We talked about that. Are you lost without Christ? If so, are you hungry to be saved? Are you saved but spiritually malnourished? Are you filled and satisfied with the Word of God? Whatever your condition is tonight, or whatever your need is tonight, take it to Jesus. He can take care of it. We've seen Him do it over and over and over again, and there's no need to doubt Him now. So maybe you're saved tonight but lost that hunger to get into God's Word. But make it right tonight. Come to the altar, and He will always send you away a better condition than when you came to Him. So let's close in prayer, and we'll have Brother Jimmy come up. Heavenly Father, we love You. We thank You for this message. I pray, Lord, it helped Your people. I pray it encouraged Your people tonight, God. I pray, Lord, that we would take it to our hearts, Lord. I pray that, God, if there be one here that's lost, Lord, that they would see their need of salvation. Lord, they'd stop searching into the world, but, God, that they would search You and, Lord, find You and, Lord, be saved, for it's eternally too late. God, help Your saints tonight, Lord, that one that may be backslidden. I pray, Lord, that whatever needs to be dealt with tonight, Lord, You deal with at the altar. We love You and praise You. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I want to give you an opportunity to come tonight. The Lord spoke to your heart. Maybe you're here tonight. There's something in the message that touched your heart. You need to come talk to the Lord about that. You know, when Jesus does things, He doesn't just do it good, He does it great. And what a great thing that He did when He fed that 4,000. And like Brother Taylor brought out, I've always wondered how in just a brief time, we don't know how many days or weeks or months it was between feeding the 5,000 and the 4,000. But you know, we get that way too. God does something this week, and then next week we doubt Him again. Maybe there's something on your heart tonight that you've got doubts about. Well, I can promise you, God can take care of it if we pray to Him and ask Him and seek Him. If we come to Him hungry to fulfill that need, He will fulfill that need. Maybe you're here tonight and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior. And that's what you're hungering for, is something to let you know that you can go to heaven. Well, certainly you can go to heaven. And if you need to come to the altar tonight and get that right, we can get that.